Well, good morning, everybody. Wow, you're awfully dark out there. Ah, there we are. And there was the light. I just have to start this way. And again, this is abnormal. I feel even weird saying this. I get migraines. And last service, did anybody ever have this where your vision gets blurry and then they sort of get tunnel vision? That happened to me last service and is sort of there right now. So if I just can't read my notes or can't read a scripture, just bear with me. I had one person say after service last time, they said, you know, you messed that up. And I said, well, I couldn't see it. So just keep that in mind. It's something that's plagued me for years. And apparently it decided to show its ugly head today. So I appreciate your grace in that. And the second thing, this last Tuesday night, we kicked off our Tuesday nights at Revive. Now, I didn't know what to expect. We throw something out there. Will people engage with it? Will they not? We had 50 guys show up, 50 men show up in the men's side of things, which was incredible. So guys, well done. And I know there's many other guys who weren't here, but we just had this sweet time right in room 134, which every chair was filled, which there was a lot of energy, and we might need to move to a larger venue. Maybe we'll need this before long. But it was just incredible. And then the ladies up the hall, this is sort of what they do. They had about 100 women up in the hallway in the evening, which was incredible. And at the hub, they had over 105 or 110 students, which is incredible. So there was all this energy and activity here on the campus on Tuesday night, because as a church, our mission is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and to participate with the Holy Spirit. And one way we do that is by learning and growing together. And like Cable mentioned, community groups are a huge part of that. So hopefully as we enter into the journey, you'll come to the men's or the women's stuff or the student or children's stuff. You'll get into the When God Speaks curriculum and you'll grow in your faith. I'm really excited for what this fall holds, and there's just so much going on. But I do have to ask you this question. Why did you come to church today? Why are you sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now? What drew you here? What brought you here? Maybe it's just what your family does on a Sunday morning. And it's sort of the routine. You get up, you have your coffee, you read the paper, you have a bagel, whatever it might be, and then you come to church. Maybe it's just part of your regular routine. Or maybe you're just in that place where it's just an obligation. You know, maybe somebody dragged you here today. Don't raise your hand if that's you. We'll let your secret be safe. But maybe some of you were dragged here by somebody else, or you don't know. Or maybe you came to see your friends. This is the place week in and week out where you get to engage with your friends and to meet them and greet them and share a cup of coffee or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you're here for the first time and you don't know why you're here. But you walked in and then you're just here with us this morning enjoying and partaking in what's happening. But whatever the case may be, this is really what I want to say. Thank you for being here. It would be really awkward if I was in here by myself. But thank you for being here. And there's something really special about when the body of Christ gathers like this. It's called corporate worship. Not in the corporate, in the business sense, but corpus, the word, the root word, means body. And when the body of Christ gathers in corporate worship, there's something really incredible that happens. Now, those of you watching online for whatever reason, it's good that you can follow and engage with us online. But there's something about sitting in the seat, hearing all that's happening, rubbing elbows and shaking hands and engaging with people, there's something really incredible about that. And every week when we gather here, and this is what I hope happens. If your life is anything like mine, Monday through Saturday, there's a lot of good stuff that happens in your world, and there's a lot of really hard stuff that comes your way. And you go at your week trying to make sense of it, seeking the Lord and His guidance and His will for everything that happens, celebrating the highs, seeking His face in the lows. But when you come here on a Sunday morning, this is what I hope happens. That you can lay all of that on the side. And maybe you have a tough conversation coming up this afternoon. Maybe there's bad news or stuff that you have to face later in the day or in the week or whenever it comes. But for this moment, for this hour, we have the opportunity as the body of Christ to come together to worship our God. Does that excite anybody else? That, you know, on a typical Sunday morning, I get up at 5 or 5:30. Today was 5:42. I sort of hit snooze a time or two. But I get up that early because I see it as an opportunity, like just to focus my heart, my mind, my attention on what I'm going to do, but more about being a part of what's happening with all of us. So thank you for being here. Thank you for joining in and being a part of the body. Thank you for worshiping corporately and raising your voices to our God, to our Lord and Savior. But let's see what the writer of Hebrews has to say about worship. What this writer of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. It's been debated as long as the book has been present. But let's see what the writer of Hebrews says about worship. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts. Let us draw near to God with sincere hearts. And fill, with a sincere heart, and fill the assurance that faith brings. And with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. The writer of Hebrews is suggesting that when we gather, we enter into the most holy place. When you come here week in and week out, do you realize when we jump, when we enter in and we worship together, there's something incredibly holy about this moment, about this time together? It's not just simply singing songs. It's not listening to a message and praying and doing all the things that we do. It's an opportunity, like the second song we sang, where all the 1 million angels will fall in his presence. Yeah, and if you take Revelation a step further, when we're in his presence someday in the future, we'll fall on our faces in the presence of his glory, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And that'll be the song of our hearts as we're gathered with people from generations past and generations in the future as we're in his presence worshiping. So we're entering the most holy place to draw near to God. I hope when you come here every week, you realize this is an opportunity to draw near to God. Yes, you'll see your friends. Yes, you'll have interactions. But hopefully you can put that all to the side and say, I'm in this holy place where I have an opportunity to draw near to God. And everything else in my world, for a moment, I can hit the pause button, because for this hour, I'm in holy space where I can draw near to God. Corporate worship is a gathering. Now, when you have your individual time throughout the week where hopefully you read the scriptures and study and maybe even worship in your car, the shower, wherever you do, hopefully those are incredible times. But there's something different when we gather together in his presence in this holy place where we're instructed and we learn and we grow and we become a family of believers. That's what I hope happens for you. That's how I hope you view this time together. It's not just another thing to tick off your schedule, to say, I was there, I'd been there, done that, but it's your time to meet with God, with your brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather together corporately. There's two key truths about this gathering. First, God gathers his people. God wants us to worship and to be present like this, and we'll get into that more in the moment. But the second is more impressive than that. Jesus is our worship leader. Jess does a wonderful job. They do a wonderful job up here, but they're not actually leading us in worship. Jesus is. Jesus made a way for us to worship the Father when he died and rose again. And like we sang just a minute ago, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. And now we can be in God's presence together. Jesus is our great high priest. It's his death and resurrection that makes all of this possible. At the center of our very existence as followers of Jesus is, in fact, Jesus. Without him, we wouldn't worship. Without him, we couldn't approach God the way that we do. He is the one who made a way. So Jesus is our worship leader. He led the way, and we follow him into this place. And as we follow Jesus, we worship God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We worship a triune God who's Father, Son, and Spirit. And as we gather, we get to experience all of that. Worship is so much more than singing a few songs. It's actually being in the presence of our God. I hope that you don't miss that. Why are you here today? You're here to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to worship our God, to be in his presence. That's why we're here. The gathering is this time where we can participate with one another. You know, my favorite holiday, I love Christmas. That's great. In fact, I don't just like Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Easter. But there's something really great about Thanksgiving. Are there any Thanksgiving fans? When you think about Thanksgiving, it's just one of those holidays. There's something about Thanksgiving, and it's just laying your heart bare before the Lord. But what I like most about Thanksgiving is gathering with family and friends around the table, having a meal, processing that, gathering together. When I eat by myself at home, it's very different than Thanksgiving. I look in the fridge, see sort of what's available. I like that. I don't like that. That wasn't very good. That was great. You throw it in the microwave. You heat it up. That's what happens when you typically eat by yourself, right? You find the leftovers. You make a sandwich. You do whatever. But Thanksgiving is different. Thanksgiving, you write out a menu maybe weeks in advance. You figure out all the various aspects of the meal. If you get a fresh turkey, you call wherever you get your turkey from and you order your turkey ahead of time so you have the right bird, it's fresh and ready to go, feathers plucked, ready for the oven. Then after you get the bird, you have it, you get it all ready, it's sitting in your fridge, but then you bake the pies. My favorite day is pie day. Oh, the smell of pies in the house just baking, and it's just so glorious. But then it's Thanksgiving morning. The turkey goes in the oven earlier in the day, and then everything else happens, made with care. But that's not even the best part. As turkey smell fills the house, then people start to flood into your home. We host Thanksgiving every year at our house. It's one of our great joys. We said early in our marriage, if you want to see us on Thanksgiving, to both sets of parents, you come to us. It was brilliant. We've never traveled for Thanksgiving. Everybody comes to us. It's really great. So every year we put the turkey in. We make all the fixings. Everybody brings a dish. We make our own dishes. And then it happens. You sit down around the table. And you partake. You enjoy. You feast with all your family and friends. One of my two favorite words that day. Dinner's ready. They just bring joy to my heart, and everyone gathers. This gathering is a meal as we gather here that involves God's family. It's a chance for us to gather like Thanksgiving, that we prepare our hearts throughout the week for what the Lord may have for us here. It's a chance for us to spend time throughout the week preparing ourselves so that when we enter here corporately, we're ready to receive what the Lord has and how we can minister to others. Worship is about giving devotion or praise to a higher power, to our God. We worship our God when we're here. It's like a Thanksgiving feast. We devote ourselves to get ready, and then when we get here, we get to experience his goodness and his grace and his love for us. It's a beautiful picture. You have an integral role to play every time we gather together. When you are not here, we notice it. When your seat is empty, we know that somebody's missing because we're part of God's family together. Constance Cherry defines our gathering a little bit further, and this is how she defines it. Worship is the regular, ongoing meeting of a local body of Christian disciples with the triune God, expressed in acts of corporate devotion done in partnership with one another. In order to give glory to God, bear witness to their identity as God's people, proclaim and celebrate the grand narrative of God's eternal activity, and receive power for living according to God's kingdom purposes. There's a lot of fundamental truths as to why we gather in that paragraph. But first, we gather to give glory to God. to recognize that God is God and we are not, that His ways are higher than our ways, that He loves us to the point where we follow Him and we give glory to Him, we enter into this most special place saying, God, You know better than me. So many people worship themselves. They think they know better than God, but when you enter into worship and you give glory to God, you say, God, Your ways are better than mine, and I worship at Your feet. The second reason we gather here like this is to bear witness to our identity, to tell the world that we're followers of Jesus. Nobody else gathers on Sunday morning to sing and to worship the way we do. But shouldn't the world notice that followers of Jesus are actually Christians, that we, as if we call on Jesus as Lord and Savior, our lives look different? And one way we do that is through gathering together in worship. As we're here, we say our lives are aligned with Jesus. Our hearts are aligned with Him. We are not our own. We bear witness to our identity as followers of Jesus. The third reason, we proclaim and celebrate God's grand narrative. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve in the garden. They sinned, they did their own thing, and they were separated from God. And ever since then, God's been trying to make a way for people to get back to Him through the Old Testament and the sacrificial system. God wanted people to be in His presence. And then He made the final sacrifice, Jesus, that when we call on His name, we're made white as snow. Our sin floods away. When we come together in worship, we're entering into that grand narrative of Scripture, of God's redemptive power in our world, drawing us to Himself, reaching out for us, giving us every opportunity to come into His presence. Because He loves you that much. He doesn't want to see any of us perish. And the fourth, we receive power for living. This gathering should restore and renew us. It should be one of the highlights of your week to gather here in this place, to worship with your church family, to understand that you're not alone in the struggles of life. When you walk out of these doors, you should be refreshed and renewed, ready to take on any challenge that comes your way. Because you've worshiped with your people, with your church. You've worshiped your God corporately. The writer of Hebrews continues, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We gather to profess our hope in Jesus. We gather to say that His ways are better, that there is this Christian hope rooted in God's faithfulness. When we gather together, we encourage one another through our corporate acts of devotion. We teach each other how to live and to do good deeds in this world. I think it's really interesting that the writer of Hebrews says we're to not give up meeting as some are in the habit of doing. Why? Why should we not give up meeting? Because the writer of Hebrews knows or knew that this is where we gather to gather our strength, to have others pour into us, to be ministered to so that we can take on the challenges of the world. We profess our identity and our hope in Christ as we gather in worship. It's not just getting together for a nice time. This is where we get to experience the glory of God as a church body. Do you ever think what that moment's going to be like? When we exit this life and we go to the next and all of a sudden we're in God's presence. Do you ever think what that moment's going to be like? I don't know if I'll fall on my face, be speechless. It's going to be incredible. And as we gather here each week, we get to experience just a little bit of what that'll be like someday in the future. as we raise our voices together, as we sing praises to our God, we join in with the angels singing. That's the beauty of corporate worship. That's why we gather. So there's the why. Those are the why answers. Why do we do this? But now there's the how. It's suggested, Cherry suggested that corporate acts of devotion are done in partnership with one another. You can't be a worship corporately in your car because you're alone. But when you gather together, we have this ability to come together. And forever, I admit this, this isn't right. Forever, early in my faith, I thought that worship was simply our songs, the words that come out of our mouth as we sing. That everything, worship in a church service, was simply our singing. But it's not. It's so much more. It's so much richer. Yes, congregational singing is part of what we do when we gather. And in fact, throughout the Psalms, we're encouraged to gather together. In Psalm 149, the writer says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people." We're supposed to get together in this assembly of faithful people and sing our praises to God over and over again. It should be one of our greatest desires. Another writer, Matt Merker, writes this: "Our singing anticipates something else, another time and another place. Our singing is not yet what in one day will be. It offers a foretaste of the day when all God's family will gather around the throne. On that day, we will sing, we will all gather alongside our brave brothers and sisters in a new heaven and a new earth where no power or principality will oppose them because King Jesus has won." One day we'll all be there. And as we gather, we get a small taste of it. Another way we worship is through prayer, is by lifting up each other's concerns and praying together as a body. Did you know that there's people who pray for our worship services? They get here early, about 7:30 every Sunday, and they pray and they walk around this room and pray over the seats and what happens in this space. There's people who pray during our worship services for what God's doing, interceding on your behalf, asking that God would work in your life right now. We have prayer after our services, both up here and in the living room. If something's stirring in your heart and you need prayer, that you seek it out. In Mark, Jesus walked into the temple and there was all this stuff going on that really frustrated Jesus. And Jesus said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'?" This is a house of prayer. For all nations, for anybody who walks in the door, we are a house of prayer. That's an essential element of worship, is prayer. Another piece that we can never forget is the public reading of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." If we truly believe the Word of God is the sword, as the part of the armor, then why don't we spend time reading it? And that's why every week when we gather, all of our messages are based on the Scripture, because that's the only place there's power. The public reading of Scripture has the ability to melt a human heart and to instruct us and to head us in a new and exciting direction. The public reading of Scripture is where we truly understand and we begin to see God's glory and who He is. Another form of worship is affirmations of faith. Many of you have heard of the creeds, and there are these affirmations of faith are creeds or writings that are centuries old that Christians say over and over and over again, confirming that God is God and Jesus' work in the world. The Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed are two, and actually in just a few moments, we will recite the Apostles' Creed together, affirming our faith. I wish when somebody walked into my house, there was a sign on the door that said, "In this house, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus, his only Son, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life." It just doesn't exist on our door. Does it exist on yours? When someone walks in your house, do they see that? But as a church, maybe they don't see it when they walk into your house, but we should be saying those words together. And then preaching is another essential element of worship. In preaching, it's an opportunity for people to hear and understand the Word of God, and it should spur us to action. When you hear a sermon and something hits your heart, it's not enough to say, oh, I learned something good today. That's wonderful. It's an opportunity for say, the Lord spoke to me in this way, and now I get to live my life and do things differently and view the world maybe in a different light that I never thought of before. Preaching is an essential part of our gathering in worship. The sermon's role is the part of proclamation and celebrating God's grand narrative and the work he's done in the world. And as we preach from up here and as you guys learn, as we come together in this way, the sermon is the opportunity for life change to happen in you as you hear and understand things differently. And all of these elements make up our worship services. As a pastor, I know how difficult it is to put these services together. You're always playing with preferences and ideas and different ways of doing it, but as we gather, it's an opportunity for us to bring our thanksgiving and our praise to God. It's sort of like when you're preparing a service, it's sort of like the host on a Thanksgiving day. I know my wife, when we prepare Thanksgiving dinner, she's a lot more nervous than I am. Is this going to be right? Is this going to come off all right? Is this going to be ready when this is ready? I need another oven. This just isn't going to work, right? Do you ever have those feelings? And that's how it is planning a worship service. But as we release it to God and remember that Jesus is our worship leader and that he's in control, when we root our worship in him and in him alone, there's this peace that comes over us. Because if Jesus is our worship leader, he'll lead us into places of worship we never dreamt possible. As we sing, "All hail King Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth," we remember who he is and that he is leading us even in this time. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. I love these words. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So why did you come to church today? I believe you came because you were called to God's perfect peace. I believe you came so that you could experience, whether you were conscious of this or not, you came to experience the goodness of God with other people who want the same. You came to be led by Jesus in worship, giving thanks to God the Father. Thinking back to the Thanksgiving illustration, you came to be gathered together with your church family and to partake and enjoy and participate in what happens in this space, to be a part of the body of Christ. You came to catch up and to learn and to love together and to let God minister to your heart. Thanksgiving is actually a picture of communion, the most personal and the most corporate act of worship there is. And Thanksgiving is not solely about the food. It's about the relationships and gathering together. And as we partake of communion in just a moment, it's not so much about the bread, the cracker, and the juice we're about to take. It's more about understanding our place in the world and how Jesus died for you, for me, to wash away our sins. Communion is the church's regular family meal. It's no coincidence that just before Jesus died at that last Passover, he celebrated that with his disciples. with these words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." That's the opportunity we have right now. There's ushers walking around with communion. If you didn't get some on your way in, please raise your hand and they'll get to you. But we will do this in just a moment. I see one hand, Randy, all the way in the back. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Preserve your soul and body into everlasting life. Take and eat this, remembering Jesus' sacrifice for you, and be grateful. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. Preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this, remembering Christ's sacrifice for you, and be grateful. Let me pray for us. God, it is an honor, it's a privilege to be able to gather together with other brothers and sisters in the faith, to talk about what it means to worship corporately, but then, Lord, to partake in this meal which, Jesus, you set up yourself. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us, the way you paved the way for us to have relationship with your Father. We thank you that you open the doors for relationship and eternity. And God, I pray that the things that we've learned today will sink deep into our hearts. That as we remember what worship is, we will worship accordingly. Whenever we think of the sacrament of communion, we will understand that we're entering into this space that Jesus established for us to remember, to join those who have come before us, and to be present with those into the future. And we thank you, Father. And Lord, as we wrap up the service today, I pray that in a few moments when we leave, we would know that you are walking with us. And as we go, we will anticipate joining together next week and worshiping together corporately. We thank you for this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand up right where you're at? Like I mentioned just a few moments ago, we're going to recite the Apostles' Creed together. This great affirmation of faith that followers of Jesus have been saying for centuries. Say it along with me. It'll be on the screen so you can just say it as we go. Speak it as we go. So the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. To close out our service this morning, we're going to sing the doxology together. It'll be on the screens if you don't know the words, but we're going to sing the doxology as we conclude our time together today.
Let's sing this together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise